Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. How often do we usually hear this in our daily lives as Christians? Whenever someone mentions that they're praying for you, it's usually a bad thing. That's not to say it's bad to have someone praying for you, but it usually means that something bad is happening in your life. You are struggling with some hardship. Or sometimes people will even say that they're praying for you when they're angry at you. And so they're praying that you will come to your senses. I'll be praying for you. St. Paul, however, is very happy to be praying for the Colossians. He gives thanks to God for them. He knows, of course, that they will require endurance, and he does warn them in the second chapter against all sorts of false teaching, which they will need to be faithful to endure. Nevertheless, Paul has great reason to rejoice for the Colossians in the opening of his letter. It isn't a bad thing when St. Paul is praying for them. And what reason does Paul have to be so happy for the Colossians? Why does he thank God for them? It is, of course, because of their faith in Christ Jesus and for the love that they have for all the saints and the hope that is laid up for them in heaven. And so he describes the Colossians as ones whom the Father has qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, this is indeed a wonderful reason to give thanks to God. And there is much rejoicing in heaven over everyone who comes to faith in Christ. It is only right, therefore, that Paul should give thanks to God whenever he prays for the Colossians. And it is only right for us to also give thanks to God for all the saints who have such faith in Christ and such love for all the saints. It is right then also that I should give thanks to God for each of you who have faith in Christ. And so I pray with St. Paul on behalf of all of you, because the Father has qualified you also to share in the inheritance of the saints. Now, of course, this qualification to share this inheritance is quite an amazing thing. And it's an interesting word. When looking at this text, I wondered what word did they translate as qualify? Now, of course, this word in our Greek New Testament is hikanao, which of course is the verbal version of hikanos, which means sufficient, adequate, or perhaps competent. So to qualify means to make sufficient or competent. Now, as humans living in this world, we have a certain understanding of what qualification means. There are lots of things you can't do unless you're qualified, unless you're sufficient or competent. For example, before you get a good job, you must, through the application and interview process, be able to prove that you are qualified to perform the tasks associated with that job. Do you have a high school diploma or a college degree? Do you have any relevant experience? The whole vetting process is based on this idea. Are you the most qualified candidate? Are you sufficient to the task? Are you competent? Or perhaps you remember being a teenager, nervously sitting behind the wheel during your driving test, hoping to prove that you are a sufficiently good driver. With a driver's license comes freedom, and among teenagers, prestige. But you can't drive your car unless you are qualified to do so. You must be of a certain age, and you must prove yourself competent. Or perhaps you had to prove that you were qualified to enter the seminary by taking a number of competency exams in the scriptures and Christian doctrine. For those of you currently studying Greek, Dr. Nordling is currently trying to qualify you to continue your studies at the seminary by making you competent in the language of the New Testament. And when your final year of the seminary comes, you will undergo a theological interview to determine if you are qualified to be called as pastors in the church, to determine if you are sufficient to the task. And so indeed, as human beings, we know all about this concept of qualification. You must be qualified to work. You must qualify for insurance. You must qualify for a loan. You must qualify for a visa. And you must be qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, of course, the problem is when we start to think about this qualification, the qualification to share in this inheritance, in the same way that we think about everything else. Everything else comes back to you, whether it's your job application, your Greek final, or your driver's license. The focus is always on you. Do you have the skills? Did you pass the test? Are you old enough? Have you filled out the proper forms? Did you pay the fee? Have you got experience? Have you got what it takes? Are you good enough? Are you qualified? And it's so natural for us to think about sharing in this inheritance in the same way, to think about our qualifications to enter the kingdom of God based on what we have done. Now, this is precisely what the Colossians were going to be up against. They would be up against those who had passed judgment on them regarding festivals, new moons, and Sabbaths, who would look at them and what they had done. Were they holy enough? Were they pious enough? Were they qualified? This is also what we are up against every day as Christians, not only from outsiders, but from ourselves. But it's dangerous for us to think about our qualification to enter into heaven in this way, whether we have been good enough or whether we have denied ourselves enough. Or we look to particular acts of piety to show that we really know our stuff, and surely we must be qualified to share in the inheritance. Just like everything else that comes back to us, the temptation is for us to always look to ourselves and to our own actions and our own competency in order to say, yes, I am qualified. But this is a very dangerous game, because we can never, on our own, be considered qualified to share in that inheritance with the saints in light. Because we are sinful human beings, because we have all broken God's law and transgressed His holy will, we can never be sufficient. When we look to our own actions, when we look to ourselves, we cannot say, yes, I am qualified, because our actions and our thoughts and our desires disqualify us. So no, we must never think about this qualification in such a way. You must not look at yourself and your own competency, for the Father has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. This is the key. You have already been qualified through His Son, Jesus Christ, by the Father. It is not based on anything that you do, but it is based on what He has done. Thus, this qualification is different from everything else in human experience, because it is done on your behalf. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have forgiveness, or in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God the Father has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and to die for your sins, and He has risen from the dead that you might also rise. It is because of this death that you have redemption, and it is by this life that you are able to enter into His kingdom. And so how are you qualified? What have you done to inherit eternal life? What works do you have to show? None but the works of Christ, which are done on your behalf. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, and it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. The Colossians heard it from Epaphras, and you have heard it from others, and you hear it again today. And it is by this truth of the grace of God that you have life through faith. It is by this grace of God that you have hope laid up in heaven. And it is by this love of God that you also share a love for all the saints. And it is in the faith of Christ Jesus our Lord that you have redemption. You are qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, because the Father has qualified you. Therefore, just as St. Paul said to the Colossians in the second chapter, let no one disqualify you. Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. For it is not on account of external works of piety that you have been saved. Let no one disqualify you insisting on asceticism or worship of angels. Let no one bind your conscience to this practice or to that, but hold fast to the head, which is Christ. It is not by outward works that you are qualified. It is not because of your own sufficiency or competency. It is the sufficiency of Christ which qualifies you to enter into his kingdom. And it is to this which we cling by faith. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding through the preaching of his word, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Praise be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.